Title: Snare Tail Control for Dark Rollers, Beginner Ableton Live Lesson. Alright, let's get into one of the most underrated details in dark rolling drum and bass: snare tail control. When I say snare tail, I mean everything that happens after the initial crack. The ring, the room, the shh, the reverb, all that sustain. In dark rollers, that tail is a big deal. If it's too long, it smears the groove, steps on your hats and ghost notes, and it can straight up mask your bass. If it's too short, the snare can feel weak and kind of cheap, like a lifeless one-shot. So today you're going to build a simple, Ableton native workflow to make your snares hit hard on 2 and 4, while the tail stays ominous and vibey without taking over the mix. And we'll do it in a way that feels like a macro setup, even if you're not building a rack yet. First, set the context so you can actually judge the tail properly. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Make a 1-bar loop with a basic roller pattern. Kick on the first downbeat, so 1.1.1, and if you want, add a small ghost kick around 1.3.3. Put your snare or clap on 1.2.1 and 1.4.1. Then add hats, either 8th notes for something simple or 16th if you want it driving. This matters because tail decisions in solo are almost always wrong. You want to hear the snare tail in the groove. The real question isn't does the snare sound big, it's does the ambience clear before the next important event, like the next hat tick, ghost kick, or bass movement. Now choose a snare that gives you something to work with. For dark rollers, look for a snare with a solid body around the low mids, roughly the 200Hz-ish zone, but not super boomy. You also want a crisp crack in that 3 to 8K area. And importantly, pick a snare that has some tail to shape. Not totally dead, not a 2-second cinematic tail either, just something with a bit of decay that you can control. If you're using a sample and simpler, put it in classic mode. That's a nice beginner-friendly place to start. Now here's the fastest win of the whole lesson. Tighten the tail at the source before you add effects. If the sample itself is too long, don't try to fix that with reverb and compression. Get the raw decay under control first. In simpler, go to the controls section. Two parameters matter a lot here: fade out and length. Set fade out somewhere around 10 to 40 milliseconds. That helps you avoid those clicky little end artifacts when you shorten the sample. Then adjust length. Shorten it until the snare stops stepping on the groove. As a reference, at 174 BPM, a 16th note is roughly 86 milliseconds. You don't need to memorize that, but it explains why super long tails can easily blur a fast pattern. A lot of roller snares feel good when the tail feels like it's under roughly 200 to 350 milliseconds, depending on the sample and how busy the hats are. If you're working with an audio clip instead of simpler, do the same concept. Shorten the end of the clip slightly and add a short fade out so it ends cleanly without sounding chopped. The goal is simple. The snare ends cleanly, but you don't hear an obvious cut. Quick coaching note here. Tail often means two different things. One tail can be a tonal ring, like a note ringing out, often somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz, or sometimes a metallic ping higher up. The other tail is the noise wash, that area shh in the 2 to 10K region. These behave differently. Tonal ring often needs EQ, maybe even a notch, or just shortening the sample. The noise wash is what gating and ducking handles beautifully. Keep that in mind, because if you only gate, sometimes the ring still pokes out, and you'll be wondering why it still feels annoying. Alright, now let's build your tail control chain using only stock Ableton devices. On your snare track, or on the snare pad chain inside a drum rack, put devices in this order. First EQ8, then saturator, then gate, then compressor. And optionally drum bus at the end if you want extra knock. Let's start with EQ8. Put a high pass filter on it. Try a 24 dB per octave slope at around 120 to 180 Hz. If the snare is muddy, go a little higher. You're not trying to remove all the body, you're just keeping sub and low rumble out of the snare channel, because in dark rollers your bass is the star down there. If the snare sounds boxy, do a small dip in the 250 to 500 Hz area, like 2 to 4 dB down, with a gentle cue around 1.2-ish. If it's dull, add a little crack with a wide boost around 4 to 7K, maybe 1 to 3 dB. And here's a super useful move for cheap ring problems. If the snare has a note that jumps out, take a narrow bell, boost it a lot temporarily, like plus 10 dB with a tight cue, and sweep from about 150 Hz up to 1.5K. When the annoying ring screams at you, stop. Then turn that boost into a cut, maybe minus 2 to minus 6 dB. That one move often fixes tail takes over the mix, without having to brutalize it with a gate. Next, saturator. Drop on saturator, Choose analog clip mode, it's great for DNB. Set drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then trim the output so the level matches when you bypass it. What you're doing here is making the tail a bit denser and more stable. That makes the next processors, especially gate and compressor, behave more predictably. And for dark rollers, a touch of grit and density helps the snare feel ominous without needing a huge reverb. Now the key tool, gate. Put gate after saturator. This is where you shape the decay like an envelope. Start with attack around 0.3 to 2 milliseconds. Fast, so you keep the transient intact. Set hold around 20 to 60 milliseconds. Hold is a big deal, because it stops the gate from chattering and sounding jittery. Then release around 60 to 180 milliseconds. Release is basically your tail length knob. Loop your one bar beat and tweak release until the groove feels like it snaps back into that rolling pocket. Set threshold so the gate closes after the main body of the snare. You'll adjust threshold by dragging until it just starts trimming the tail. You want the crack and body fully there, and then the decay gets controlled. And here's a realism knob most beginners miss, floor. If floor is all the way down at minus infinity, the gate cuts hard. That can sound cool and tight, but it can also sound chopped and cheap. If it feels unnatural, don't panic and start randomly moving threshold. Try raising floor to something like minus 12 to minus 20 dB. That keeps a bit of room tone, while still controlling the decay. One more coach note. If your snare track has multiple layers, or you're using resampled breaks, the gate might open on other hits. You'll hear weird pumping where the snare tail opens when a hat hits. For example, if that happens, use gate sidechain filtering. High pass the detector, so the gate is listening more to the crack region, not low stuff or random bleed. Or even band pass around 2 to 8K so it opens reliably on the snap. Next, compressor for consistency. Add Ableton's compressor after the gate. Set ratio between 3:1 and 5:1. Set attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, so the initial transient gets through. Release around 60 to 150 milliseconds. Then lower the threshold, until you see about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on the snare hits. The point here isn't to squash the snare, it's to keep the snare's punch consistent and stop the tail from swelling unpredictably. If you overcompress, you'll actually make the tail louder than the transient, which is the opposite of what we want for rollers. Optional. Drum bus. If you want a bit of roller knock, add drum bus at the end. Drive around 2 to 8. Crunch very small, like 0 to 10, and keep boom off, or extremely subtle. Rollers usually don't need sub coming from the snare. Now let's add dark space without washing the groove. This is where people usually mess up, so pay attention. Instead of putting reverb directly on the snare insert, create a return track. Name it something like a snare verb. Put reverb on that return. Set size around 25 to 45. Decay time around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. For rollers, that's usually shorter than you think. Use pre-delay around 15 to 30 milliseconds, so the snare punch stays up front and the reverb starts just behind it. Make it dark, set high cut around 4 to 8K, and high pass the reverb using low cut around 200 to 400 Hz, so you're not dumping mud into the mix. Then send your snare to this return at a low level. Start around minus 18 to minus 8 dB. Keep it subtle and build up. This gives you a controlled, dark tail you can balance with one knob, without committing the snare itself to a big wash. Now the secret sauce. Duck the reverb tail so the groove stays tight. On that same snare verb return, after the reverb, add a compressor. Turn on sidechain. Set the sidechain input to your snare track. Try ratio around 4:1. Attack fast, about 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release around 120 to 250 milliseconds, and adjust by feel. Then lower the threshold until you see roughly 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction when the snare hits. What this does is super musical. When the snare hits, the reverb gets pushed down. Then in the gaps between hits, the reverb blooms back up. So you get size and darkness without covering the actual drum hit. Big but tight. That's the vibe. Quick diagnostic tip while you're listening with the bass on. If the snare seems to disappear when the bass is playing, it's often low-mid conflict, typically in that 200 to 600 Hz zone, or the reverb return has too much low end. So try a bit more low cut on the reverb, or a small dip in that range on the snare. If the bass loses definition when the snare hits, the snare tail might be too wide or too loud, or your reverb isn't filtered enough. Turn down the send, darken the reverb more, shorten the gate release, or all three. Now let's talk arrangement, because rollers live or die on movement. You can automate tail control across sections. In a 16-bar intro, let it breathe, slightly higher reverb send, slightly longer gate release, more room, more atmosphere. When the drop hits, tighten it, shorten the gate release and pull the reverb send down by about 2 to 6 dB. That contrast makes the drop feel heavier and more direct. Before a switch or a fill, do a quick tail lift. In the last half bar, automate the reverb send up a bit, then snap it back down right on the drop. That little moment of extra space makes the impact feel huge. You can also do call and response. Bar 1 tight, bar 2 slightly more tail. It sounds arranged even if your pattern is repetitive. Now, common mistakes to avoid. If the gate is too hard and your snare sounds chopped, don't just give up on gating. Increase hold and raise floor so it fades instead of slamming shut. If you've got reverb inserted directly on the snare and it's anywhere near wet, that's usually why your groove feels blurry. Move it to a return. If your tail is muddy, especially 200 to 600 Hz, EQ both the snare and the reverb return. People forget the return needs EQ too. And if you've overcompressed and the tail is louder than the crack, slow the attack and reduce the gain reduction. Let's wrap with a quick 10-minute practice exercise. Load a snare with a noticeable tail. In simpler, shorten the sample tail until the loop instantly feels tighter. Then add gate and find two sweet spots. One tight drop setting with release around 80 to 120 milliseconds. And one Atmos intro setting with release around 150 to 250 milliseconds. Create a reverb return. Send the snare to it. And sidechain duck the return from the snare so the reverb blooms between hits. Then automate. Intro gets higher send and longer release. Drop gets lower send and shorter release. And do this check. Mute the bass for a second. Does the snare still feel good? Then bring the bass back. Does the snare still cut on 2 and 4 without washing the low end? If yes, you're dialed. Final recap. Control the tail at the source first using simpler length and fades. This audio version is shortened for playback.